email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Conor Pope joins us in studio. Good afternoon, Conor.
Hi, Ray.
Pricewatch at rte.ie if you want Conor's advice on any consumer type issues. What are you writing about today in the Irish Times?
Well, I've actually got two different reader problems. One is a problem associated with air, and a problem one of our readers had, and then another one is a problem with three. Uh-huh. And it's a story that we've actually dealt with both on this show, and we've dealt with it on the pages of Price Watch in the past. Somebody's parent passed away and they were trying to disconnect them, or cancel the account, and then it just became hugely problematic. And I suppose it's again more evidence that more can be done with the communications companies to improve their communications. No, I guess they have improved. Like, there was a, you know, and I guess that, you know, maybe in now that we're moving out of the pandemic period and people are maybe they have more staff and the staff are maybe working closer together, that hopefully you'd imagine the problems will lift. But it's still unacceptable.
With all the talk, we've done it here, you've done it in the paper, they've done it on Liveline, I've heard on other shows, that they would have some sort of system in place on their website or wherever, that when you go about tying up the loose ends after you lose a parent, that would be there, available to you and easily accessible.
Do you know, the one thing that's lacking across the entire sector, I think, is the word empowerment. And I don't think any of these companies sufficiently empower their staff to do the right thing. And that's not because the staff are programmed to do the wrong thing. That's not because anybody who works in any of these companies wants to cause unnecessary distress or hardship to anybody. Nobody wants to do that. But I think there's a real problem with empowering staff. And I always think about a story I heard about an insurance company in the UK. And this is going back 10 or 12 years. And they decided they would set aside a budget to empower their frontline customer care workers to do the right thing. Now, they didn't say what the right thing was, but they said, you have a small budget. And you can use this small budget to do the right thing when it comes to dealing with customers. And the story that always comes to mind is there was an insurance company. So this very distressed customer rang the company to say that she'd been in a minor tip in her car, and she went to find her insurance premium, her insurance disc, and she'd found out that her toddler had scribbled all over it, rendering it illegible. So the woman who happened to be a woman who was on the other end of the phone working for the insurance company said, she took all her details and said, don't worry about that, we'll send out your new disc in the post, and we'll send out a letter, and you'll be grand. And she then went off and she used a tiny percentage of her discretionary spend to buy a box of crayons, which she put into the package and sent that along with the insurance disc for the toddler. And that kind of small gesture.
You're talking about it now.
I'm not identifying the insurance company, but like that kind of small gesture, it's a really human thing. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that's lacking from all customer care that's done over the telephone, and indeed a lot of customer care that's done face to face, is that human interaction. Mm. That it's one human being dealing with another human being. And that's particularly pronounced when you're dealing with someone who's suffered a bereavement. Because when somebody has suffered a bereavement, what they're looking for, in addition to you resolving their problem, is just a little bit of compassion, a little bit of, listen, we've all been in your position. It's a horrible position to be in. Let me do whatever I can to make that problem better for you.
Okay, so that's in the Irish Times today or online. Now, this came in, Pricewatch at RTE. Dear Conor, I'm a big fan of Aldi and Lidl. Probably more Aldi. I'm especially a big fan of Aldi's 650 gram soft batch bread, which retailed at 99 cent and now costs 109 cent. Still great value, except the two heels of the loaf are quite thick and weigh in at 160 grams. Could that be right? Yes, which works out at 26% of its net weight. It's not easy to cut the heels with a serrated bread knife when you're 75 years of age and have arthritic fingers. I approached Aldi regarding the foregoing on two occasions, the first being over 12 months ago and the second in the last 4 months, but nothing has been done. The solution seems simple enough, adjust the slicing machine. Could you intervene and help to sort it out? I would hate to have to stop buying the bread. That's great.
And actually, this kind of left off the page at me because, I don't know about you, Ray, but I would reach instinctively for the heel of a sliced pan first.
I'm not a heel man myself.
Love a good heel.
Right, okay.
whereas my wife will never eat the heel of bread. Right. And she actually has great fond memories of her dad, who would very carefully use one of these kind of serrated knife to cut the heel in half. So she'd have a proper slice.
Yes,
but I love the heel of a sliced pan. Okay. So I was reading it going, no, I know, he'd be grand. But you know, again, I appreciate it. It takes all sorts. And there's a lot of people out there who don't like the heel of bread. And the percentage, 26% of the loaf being heel, did seem like
that's
a lot.
That's over a quarter of it.
So I went off this morning and I went down to Aldi, my local Aldi, and I bought the bread in question. And I brought it home. And
which
my whole
is the 650 gram soft batch.
Yeah. Yes. And my whole plan was to bring in the heels and we could have a look at the heels. But then in between times, I had some toast. Nice bread, I have to say. I'm not going to lie to you. And then I weighed the heels.
Right.
Now, the heels I got were much thinner, much more slender than the ones that our listeners talking about, which tells me that there isn't a uniformity of the size of the heel of this loaf of bread.
Yeah.
So it's in many respects, the solution to the problem would be for him to root around on the shelf and kind of it's a kind of one of these cellophane wrappers. So you could get a sense of whether or not you're getting one with a thick heel or a non-thick heel. So, but like that, long term, maybe that isn't the solution. But then, so then I went off and I weighed them. And as I say, they were much lighter than they were nowhere near 26% of the loaf. But they were like maybe a good 10% or 12%. So in effect, he's wasting, like for him, he would be wasting 10 or 12% of his loaf because he doesn't like the heels. So I did then get, I also got in touch with Aldi to see if there's anything they could do. Now I can understand that if you're a customer in any shop and you go up to the guy in the shop and say, any chance you could do anything about the heel of your bread, chances are nothing's going to happen. I mean, what are they going to do?
I think you're right there. I think
you know, the fact that
empowerment
even when we talked about empowerment, that would be taking it a step far. So I can appreciate why probably nothing got done. But then, you know, the weight of the Ray Darcy Show contacting Aldi, you know, I expected them to swing into action, recalibrate their machines, and suddenly everything would be done and dusted.
That didn't
happen. No, but what they did say, they said that they sent me a lengthy statement. So they didn't dismiss it out of hand, and they didn't just say, no, come on, cop on, we're not going to do that. So they explained that the Ballymore crust soft batch is baked according to a traditional Irish recipe by a supplier called O'Hara's in Foxford County, Mayo.
Yes.
And this is something that I didn't know, because when I was a kid, batch bread was always really exotic. Because I grew up in the west of Ireland and in Cork, and you didn't have batch bread in Cork and Galway, but you did have it in Dublin. And batch bread was always this wonderfully exotic thing in my childhood. But it's baked in a specialised oven and has a longer bake time than a normal slice pan. And that results in a different shape and crust. Didn't know that.
There's a bigger crust.
There's a bigger, thicker crust because it's baked for a longer time.
Yeah.
And apparently this particular bread that our listener's talking about is one of its most popular fresh breads. And their market research suggests that people are more like me than you. And they like the thick heel. And the product is actually designed that way.
Uh-huh.
So it wouldn't be a question that they would entirely recalibrate their machines, because they're actually calibrated to give the thick heel because that's what people want.
Bad news for our listener.
They're also, then the statement continued, we're also open to customer feedback and they review all their groceries regularly. So then they went on and they said where they get all their bread from and blah, blah, blah. And they said, and this is interesting, never fear, if you're a customer who does not enjoy a thick-heeled batch, we recommend trying our specially selected ancient grain sourdough batch where they've removed one of the heels entirely.
Right.
And this particular product is produced by another small bakery called Toomey's. And what they've also agreed to do, totally unsolicited, I didn't say that they should do this, they're going to send down a specially selected tray of different breads to our customer, to our listener,
yes,
to see, and this is their funny pun, to heal any wounds. So they will send down a range of different options. But
right,
the bottom line is, and I think this was a big ask.
Yes, I'm desperately trying to, I'm listening to you there, but I'm desperately trying to remember if anybody in my family had a preference for the heel of the bread. I don't think they did. I don't think
that must have created a bit of a crisis.
Yeah, like, and if you got a thick heel, you would be doing that thing, which is difficult to do, even if you're not 75, is to try and, you know, get in the middle there and create another slice of bread out of the heel. But that's what this man is saying.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the thing is, when I was talking to Niamh outside, and I was like, I loved the heel, as I said.
Yeah.
And every single photograph, and I'm not joking, every single photograph of me as a child, and I say from the age of about one till maybe seven, has me eating a heel of bread.
Back a memory. That's where the heels went.
The babies.
The babies. That's it, exactly.
There you go.
That's the memory. Yeah.
And of course, I grew up at a time when taking photographs was a very expensive business. Yeah. So your parents didn't waste film on you. Like, you know, they wasted it on mountains and any kind of random touristy scene. But every single photograph of me as a child is me eating a heel of bread.
Now, here's there was a bit of shrinkflation there, wasn't there? 99. And that was just...
The price has gone up.
That was just inflation, not shrinkflation. But it was 2.29 per pound a few months ago. Now it's 2.99 euro. Explain.
Actually, funnily enough, that's one of the things that a lot of listeners to the Irish Times have got in touch with us about. Butter has gone up dramatically. It was 2.29, and this is the own brand butter, because the Kerrygold butter is priced differently. I think the Kerrygold butter is 3.75,
right,
whereas the own brand butter went from 2.29 to 2.49 to 2.89, and now it's 2.99. And the irritating thing for, I think, a lot of consumers is that all of the retailers engage in price matching. So if one retailer charges X for a product, then all retailers will charge.
But is that not a good thing? Why is that a bad thing?
It's a good thing when prices are low.
Right.
But when prices start to creep up, then the price match.
But surely it finds its level at the lowest.
You'd think. But what we've seen is that the product, let's say if four supermarkets all had butter priced at 2.49.
Yes.
And then one of them, because of the spike in inflation and because of higher transport costs and energy costs and all the rest, they increase their prices to 2.89. All of the others then have that comfort of increasing their prices to 2.89 as well. And it's probably because they have no choice because of all of the different incremental increases up and down the supply chain. And maybe that's what's happening. But it does mean that you can't shop around. So you can't say, OK, well, supermarket X is now charging 2.99 for butter, so I'm going to go to supermarket Y where it's still 2.49. The reality is that if supermarket X starts charging at supermarket Y, it'll start charging it as well.
The heel was a must. We had to bags it, says Ed. Well, the only thing that was bags in our house was the cream at the top of the milk. We used to bags the cream.
It's funny, I was only talking about the cream at the top of the milk yesterday. I was at an event in Airfield Estate, and it was one of these kind of social enterprise gatherings. So all these various different social enterprises had come together. And I think social enterprises are a brilliant thing, by the way, but that's a story for another day. And I was talking about the Airfield milk. Now, I have no connection with Airfield whatsoever, but they do produce their own organic milk from the farm. And it's exactly that. It's the big, thick lump of cream
at the top.
Yeah. And I think it's brilliant. It is all of that. No, but I gave it to my children and they were like, what the hell is this stuff floating in my cereal? And I'm like, lads, it's cream. Yeah. Like, it's a good thing.
Why doesn't the man cut the heel into five or six fingers? Much easier and safer to cut, says Johnny.
I will get in touch with him and suggest that maybe. But it might be the thickness that he doesn't like.
And on the phone companies, I found Gomo. That's the phone company, is it?
It is.
Brilliant when I had to notify them of my mum's death last year. Not only were they so efficient and made the process very easy, but they actually sympathised with me. I was very impressed.
I wouldn't expect anything else. That's the very least that somebody should do when you tell them about a bereavement.
Why is loo paper doubled in price? Liz wants to know.
I was going to say something rude there, and I'm glad I didn't. I don't know why it's doubled in price, but I tell you that like the production cost associated with making toilet roll is probably quite high because they've got to pulp the paper. Probably a very energy sapping process.
Can I ask you, do people use an opportunity like this just to put up the prices?
I'd be very surprised if they did right now because there's so much attention on prices, and people are far more price sensitive now than they would have been even 6 months ago.
No, but like when it's, you it's put up your price, you don't have to give anybody an explanation as to why the price has gone up. People are just taking that it's right across the board.
Do you know what? It probably is happening. Yeah. And I'd love to be able to pin it down because I think the people who are exploiting a situation to maximise their profits
should be named and shamed.
Should be named and shamed because they're not doing themselves any favours, but more importantly, they're ripping off their consumers in a way that's entirely unnecessary.
It's very difficult to prove.
Very difficult to prove.
And you know that from doing numerous consumer shows on the television.
Absolutely. But if your listeners have examples of what they think are suspicious price increases, I'd love to hear about them.
Ray at RTE.ie. Final word to Mick in the Hatch. The heel of the plain loaf was always reserved for me in our house. Cut an inch thick with thick cheese. Both heels made a 2.5 inch sambal.
I like the sound of that. I have to tell you.
Well, you have your. Have you all heels gone now? Or you?
I ate both heels before I came in. Right. Oh no, I forgot them. They're still at home. I'll eat them when I get
home. PriceWatch at RTE.ie if you want Connor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. That's it from us and Connor. Sarah and Cormac are on the way on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.